let's say hello to Mike Pino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Don. It's sunny and nice up here in the North Woods. Later in the summer, the bugs are down. It couldn't be a better summer up here. We avoided the recent rains. I'm sorry to hear about some of those problems in the southern part of the state, but getting cleaned up now. Anyway, it's nice up north, I'm glad to report. Manitowish Waters.
Is not living up to its name, Manitowish Waters. We didn't have it down here in Racine, but just north of us, we had some employees here who just couldn't come in the next day because their house was flooded. They had to deal with it. I mean, that's horrible. I had it once when I lived in Brown Deer, just north of Milwaukee. That's when the interstate was underwater. We went by the bridge by the interstate I-43, and the cars, they were just underwater. You see bubbles of oil and gas coming up, and that's about it. But yeah, it's horrible when, you know, nature says, I'm going to get you wet.
But I'm glad it's drying out.
Yeah. I got it. Before we talk about what's inside Our Wisconsin Magazine, I got to talk about this cover because I love that expression on the cow's face. There's a girl. She's holding a cow by the reins, and she's got a beautiful smile on her face. And the animal she is holding has a look like, you did it perfectly. It's like,
yeah, that's Toddy the steer.
Yeah.
And the girl you're talking about is a high school sophomore, Alyssa Stotts of Wanakee, and she's a member of the Wanakee Whirlwinds 4-H Club, and she's showing her steer Toddy at the Lodi Agricultural Fair. She has a very fetching smile, a very pretty young lady.
Yes.
At the fair showing her steer Toddy, and she's got this fetching smile. But Toddy is, you can see, he's kind of giving you one eye. It's sort of a baleful stare toward photographer Michael Napstein. And I think that maybe he's thinking of you, Don, because he's looking out and saying, you don't mess with me, Bubba, or this girl.
Well, I told you I had heart surgery 14 years ago, and I have a bovine, a cow valve, inside of me, and probably took one look at me and said, oh no, you ain't getting my valve. Get back off.
That's a moving story.
Yeah. But look at that expression on that steer. Whoa.
So and we like to, in Our Wisconsin Magazine, okay, in a state as pretty as this, okay, it's not difficult to find beautiful landscape pictures to go on the cover of a magazine. Any corner of Wisconsin you think about it, there's something very pretty about it in the landscape. And it says Wisconsin, which is a place. But this magazine is really about the people of Wisconsin and what's in their minds and hearts they share here and their love of the state. So when you have a Wisconsin person doing Wisconsin things on the cover of this magazine, that all sort of comes together for us here.
Anyway, it's a wonderful cover. Before we get to the first story, I got to tell you my story. I'm on a cruise ship once, and there was a guy I met on the cruise, and we were talking, and he had a root beer bottle from Root Beer Soda, and it had a clasp on it that locked it tight. And he said, why don't we put something in, throw it overboard, and see what happens, which is highly illegal doing it from the cruise ship, but we did it for some reason. In there, we put our business cards, which was pretty dumb because if we get caught, we put our business cards, we put a dollar bill in so they could see the money, give them impetus to open it, and we put a Band-Aid in case they cut themselves opening the glass bottle. And we threw it overboard, and Cuba was in the distance somewhere. So we threw it overboard, and that was back in the 90s. We haven't heard squat. Now, that doesn't mean someday you won't hear it. Who knows if it washed up on the shore of Cuba or wherever, one of the islands, and maybe someday we'll hear something. Let's talk about how the tide has turned. That's your first article in the new issue. I led in with that story because this is something similar, except it had a different outcome.
Well, a message in a bottle. And, you know, that indicates hope. You'll hear back from a friendly soul somewhere. And as long as you're not shipwrecked and looking for help anytime soon, it's a pretty cool thing to do. So, yeah, you're talking about a story that involves a fellow named Bill Leyendecker of Oconomowoc. Now, the articles in Our Wisconsin come generally from the readers, and this gentleman is sharing a story of something you're talking about. He, as a child in 1965, was camping with his parents on Lake Michigan, and they're doing the usual things. They were having cookouts, and they're having pancakes cooked over the campfire, and so they emptied a log cabin syrup bottle, and he's got this empty bottle. Okay, young kid in grade school, so he writes his name on this piece of paper, Bill Leyendecker, and he tosses it in. He was camping at Point Beach at Two Rivers, I should clarify. And he's from Janesville, so they were up at the Lake Michigan shore. Throws her into Lake Michigan at Point Beach. Okay, 1965, hoping for a pen pal. This qualifies as social media back then. It wasn't unusual for people to look for pen pals in the 60s. There were print publications, that advertised for kids looking for a pen pal. It's a different era. So he's looking for a pen pal and he's going to see what happens. Never heard a word. 1965, sort of forgot about it. Now let's fast forward to fall of 2024. About a year ago, Bill makes a trip to Brown County, Kewaunee County, Wisconsin, a little bit east of Green Bay, the unincorporated town of Poland. There's a banquet hall called Eddie Whips, famous for the polka and a lot of fried chicken, and a lot of weddings held there. And he was at a gathering at the banquet hall, and a woman comes up to him named Kathy Dutcher, and she mentions to him, I was sitting at the table near you. Did you happen to say your name is Leyendecker? And he said, yeah. Kathy lives in Denmark, a little east of Green Bay. And she tells him that she found a bottle on the shore of Lake Michigan in 1965, and the name on it was Bill Leyendecker, and she never forgot it. This guy's jaw drops. He's 70 years old. He says, you have to be kidding. So when he was a 10-year-old, he throws this in the lake. She finds it and remembers for 60 years, and they find each other at a chicken and banquet hall a little bit east of Green Bay. Small world story, and they got together and talked about other bottles they've thrown off of the SS Badger, the car ferry, trying to find people in Wisconsin or Michigan. Bill did hear back from a fellow in Ludington who found that bottle, and grandfather gave it to his grandson. They wrote a little, but it didn't go anywhere. But happy ending to a story from a 10-year-old. We got a picture of him sitting at the picnic table, yeah, age 10, with a family, with his log cabin bottle. Then we got a picture of him, 70 years old, with Kathy Dutcher, who found his bottle, and they found each other.
Well, what's interesting about the bottle I threw overboard, I was working here at WRJN back in the 90s, so the phone number on the business card still works. So if they find
right
it...
Right now?
Yeah, same phone number. Well, I've been here 26 years. There was a 9-year absence, but 26 years total. And if Fidel Castro's brother finds it off the coast of Cuba, I mean, you know, give me a call.
Raul will invite you to come visit.
Hey, give me a call. And you got a dollar bill in there. Who knows what it's worth now? Maybe more. And if you cut yourself, you got that Band-Aid in there to put on you. And the bottle was sealed airtight. So, and then we were told it's illegal to throw this stuff overboard into the ocean. But by that time, it was too late. Let's talk about school buses. I only took a school bus in kindergarten. That was it, because then I had to walk. But in kindergarten, I did. And I was telling you off the air, one of the childhood friends of mine who was on the bus with me was Jerry Seinfeld. We rode the same school bus in kindergarten. We were in the same class. And I remember everything about that school bus. Now, we're talking a lot of years back in the early 60s. Actually, it was 1959. And I remember the bus driver, Mr. Clancy, was a volunteer fireman. I remember his face. This bus we had, it was a yellow bus, but it had black fenders on it. It's funny what you remember about your first school bus ride. And this article talks about school bus drivers and people remembering their trips on the school bus.
Well, yeah, this one is by Heidi Overson from Westby in Vernon County. She grew up in the Driftless region on right next to the Mississippi River in Coon Valley, and she sent in a story, and it's a touching story. Heidi may have grandchildren now. She's about that age, and Heidi recalled all the school bus drivers who her parents entrusted her to them to get her safely through school in the Driftless region in the winter time, where there's a lot of hills and ridges and tough driving. And she remembered five men very vividly who, through the years of her grade school and into high school in this very rural area, got these kids to school. And she recalls one gentleman, Julian Rundhagen, a lot of Norwegians out there, who laughed and laughed because Heidi's father told her, "Snow's pretty high here, dear. You better take some bread wrappers and put them, on your feet, so you won't get wet when you walk through the deep snow to get to the bus." And little 6-year-old girls waiting through the snow, and Julian's got the door open, waiting for her, carrying her lunchbox, and she wades through the snow and takes her first step on the bus. And he takes one look and bursts out laughing because she put these bread bags over her boots and could barely walk because she's got this plastic and these plastic bags over her boots. It's supposed to be over her stocking feet, and she's got dear stories from all these five guys: Paul Seeland, Lyle Hansen, Lawrence Wildner, Eugene Volden, about gifts she made for them at Christmas and how touched they were. She invited at least one of them to her wedding later on when she's of that age. And how these men touched her, and you're exactly right, what we remember from when we're children on up is just astonishing. I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I remember Byron Nelson, a classic, not the golfer, but that was his true name. And he took us to high school in De Pere, Green Bay, Abbott Pennings High School, right in the Fox River near St. Norbert. Byron Nelson, and he's a big strapping, he's a post office carrier, mailman, but he was a Marine in the service. Great big guy with a booming voice. But he grew up in a family of seven boys, and so he got along with high school boys very well, repartee, and we just loved him. And it's interesting, and Byron passed about 3 or 4 years ago, and I'm pushing age 70 now. I drove 4 hours down to Green Bay to see his family in wintertime and then drove back that same evening. But that's how men like that, and women now, these school bus drivers touch us and stay with us all our lives.
You know, Mr. Clancy, I was looking him up to see, because I know the town he comes from, Massapequa, New York, and he was a volunteer fireman, so that's somewhat easier to trace. But he taught me one thing, and I never forgot it. Now, I don't know if this is all over, but in the town I lived in, one long siren meant emergency, two short ones was a house fire. And that's how the volunteer fire department knew what was going on. And you don't forget this stuff. I mean, how many years ago was this stuff? Just still lingering in my head. Hey, before we get to, I want to get this story in before we break for the news. Reaching for the Sun, Sunflowers. Now, the reason I want to talk about this was just yesterday, we used a story on the air. A man set the Guinness World Record in America for the tallest sunflower, 30 feet, 6 inches. Now, we're still waiting to get that verified by Guinness. The previous record, 30 feet, 1 inch, so he's got it beat by 5 inches. we have sunflowers growing in front of our house. And when we had them in the backyard, my wife is, what, 5'4", 5'5", maybe 5'6". The sunflower was a little taller than her. And I thought that was huge. This one is 30 feet tall. I mean, that's huge. I don't even know how that stands straight up, but it does. Let's talk about reaching for the sun. Great sunflower story.
Well, you better get some of those seeds.
30 feet.
Well, we can sum this story up. It's from Auburndale, Wisconsin, which is out west of Wausau, dead center of the state, really. We can sum this up with a quote from a teacher there, 25-year teacher Mark Cornoyer. He says, "It's hard to be unhappy in a sunflower field." And I think he just nailed it, because it brings peace to your heart, smile to your face, and you got these sunny faces all looking back at you. So Mark works for the Auburndale Schools, and he is a wheeler dealer. They traded some land with a farm and some wooded property, and they got some tillable and wooded property, and he uses this land as an outdoor classroom. And part of that is growing crops, okay? Sunflowers with high oil seeds are a marketable crop, and they're beautiful. So he's working with the schools to have these students go out and till the fields using farm equipment. They use a grain drill to drill in the seeds. They plant the crops. They tend the crops. Some farmers, you know, in the area lend some equipment to help with this. They grow the crop, and then they harvest it, okay? They harvest it, sack the seeds, and sell them, and all the money goes to charity. Now, how much? One field has 100,000 sunflowers, and another one on a back acreage has 250,000 sunflowers. People are welcome to come out, use them for photo ops. They have little spaces in the fields with chairs and things you can sit on and pose for photos. People have their wedding pictures taken out there. Cars are coming through. At the end of October, when they do this harvest, they get 7,000 pounds of seed, and people come through with their cars, and the kids sack these seeds. They sow the sacks. They label them. Auburndale sunflower seeds, put them in the people's cars, collect the money, and they've raised $30,000 for Toys for Tots in the last few years since 2020. Okay, so four growing seasons, they're into their fifth now. So you know, something that's really beautiful in August will benefit kids at Christmas time. So my guess is, I'm guessing those sunflowers are standing tall right now near Auburndale. Population 702 out west of Indigo. It's pretty easy to find. And, it's hard to be unhappy in a sunflower field. And this teacher and all these students from middle school and high school are making a lot of people happy.
But are they 30 feet tall? That is.
I didn't see any that tall, but that sounds like a tall tale, Don. I need that verified.
Well, and the Guinness World Record people are going to verify it. He says they're on their way. But we had the story on yesterday, and I'm looking at the side of my house thinking, that's bigger. That's up. That's past my roof.
Yep. Yeah. Roofs aren't much higher than 30 feet on standard houses.
Well, this is 30 and a half feet, actually. It's 30 feet, 6 inches. I don't know how it stands up straight at that height, but that must be some stem or stalk, whatever it is, holding that sunflower up there. But you're right. Let's get those seeds. Those seeds have great genes in them. If you want 30 feet.
You could try growing one up to the peak of your roof.
Yeah. I didn't see a picture of it. It was on our prep service, and that's where I saw it. We're going to take a break. We've got news coming up in just a moment here, and then we got more stories on the other side. I got to tell you something. The ads in your magazine are just great. Matter of fact, we were on a road trip through the state once, and we had the magazine with us, and we happened to be going to, I forget the town. It's it was Little Fat Gretchen's restaurant was there, and we saw the ad. And we said,
Waupaca,
yeah. And we said, let's stop there. And we saw the ad. The ad looked good. And I said, we stopped and we had the lunch at the restaurant, had their pie. And I just, first of all, I love the name, Little Fat Gretchen's. And we saw the ad and we said, let's eat there. And the ads are just great in your magazine. You've been having a contest. You got to look for the W's in the ad, stylized W's. And if you get all three of them, you send them in and you can win a nice prize from some of the restaurants and stuff and some of the stores. It's really neat. It's a good magazine. All right. How do you get the magazine, first of all, if somebody wants it? Because it's tough to find magazine stands today, but you can get it through the mail like I do. I've been getting it since volume one, and we still get them.
Yeah, so the easiest way to get one magazine, and they're $7 each, free shipping. All you have to do is call 715-543-2311, and free shipping. We'll get a copy out to you right away.
Now you got to get the full 2 years. If you'll get the full year, now it's six issues a year because it comes out every other month. You got to get the whole thing. You can't just get one. It's like a pistachio
okay,
nut.
So if you want to get the six issues, I've got an 800 number, toll free. Call 877-717-8925. Six issues in a year. Always 82 pages.
Yep.
Not a lot of advertising.
Nope.
A lot of stories, color pictures.
You're right. It's not a lot, but the ads in there are just worth reading because they're all local ads for the most part.
They are. We try to keep it 20% or less, so there's a lot of reading, but the ads tell you interesting places to go, events and destinations. People use this. They tag the pages, and they use this to plan trips.
Yeah, that's how we go. We're talking to the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Mike Bino is with us this morning. He's here every 2 months because we talk about the latest issue of Our Wisconsin Magazine. You know, Mike, I was trying to figure out how to describe it to somebody. This has got to be one of the most positive magazines. There's no politics in it. There's no negativity in it. It's all positive stories that kind of make you feel good while you're reading it. So it's just the feel-good magazine because you don't have anything in there that's negative, political, anything like that. So if you want to get away from all the world, get away from the news, this is a magazine that does it. And it's really up to date. It talks about Wisconsin. I was telling you. Go ahead.
Thank you for that. Thank you. We try hard to keep it bright, upbeat, positive, and enjoyable, fun. And as you say, you don't have to go very far to find negativity in the world. We want to be that ray of sunshine landing in people's mailboxes every 2 months. That may sound trite, calling this a ray of sunshine. That's coming from a letter from a reader who said, please, described it that way and said, please keep it coming. We love this.
Yeah, you know, I think I mentioned this once before. If I didn't, I'll mention it again. We had a former war vet living across the street from us. He was in his 90s and he was, you know, he wasn't a bedridden type. He was out there mowing his lawn in his 90s. So we've been getting Our Wisconsin Magazine since issue one. So we saved every back issue and we brought him over there to him and we said, here, you know, COVID, it just began and he was kind of in the house, didn't come out. So we brought him, and he lived alone. So we brought him all the magazines. And when he did pass away, the obituary mentioned us for bringing him those magazines. And he said he really enjoyed them. And he sat there late in his bed and read Our Wisconsin Magazine. But because of the magazines, we got mentioned in the obituary to thank us for doing that. And it was your magazines.
Good for you, Don. Good for you for looking out for people. This magazine is indeed about neighbors. The neighbors in Wisconsin are writing it. There's not a lot of sophisticated professionals in an ivory tower talking down to people. It's very conversational. It's a little chummy. Once in a while, there's a corny joke. We've never met a pun we didn't like. And that's good. It's all done to be lighthearted, and it's in good fun. That's what some of the contests are for. A little diversions, a little bit of fun. And every 2 months, people are ready for another dose.
You know, when I came back to do the morning show, I was gone for 9 years. I came back, and I said, no politics. We're not going to do anything like that. This is people going to wake up, and they're not going to deal with it now. We do have the news on the air. But I'm not going to discuss it, and that's it. It's going to be all positive, fun stuff, music, oldies. That's what we play. And they said, okay. And when I came back a couple of years ago, no politics, just
Yeah, it's the classic journalism, newspapers, and radio. You've got a little bit of entertainment. You've got news. There's several jobs you're doing, okay? You're imparting information. You're keeping people safe with alerts. If there's bad news, you share it and get on to something else, and you got some entertainment and fun too. Here in this product, Our Wisconsin, it's only the fun. We're not journalists here, we're entertainers. We're here to find fun stories with a beginning, middle, and end, and put them in between covers. You're not going to have a whole lot of polysyllabic unpronounceables with somebody showing off their vocabulary because they're a good writer.
What is that? What was that? What was that word you just used? Poly what?
I can't say it twice because I can't remember it very well. Like I said, I'm not a journalist. Yeah, polysyllabic unpronounceables. But if you were mowing your lawn and you see your neighbor in his backyard and you're going to stop him from mowing and you're going to catch his attention, say something to him to tell him something, there better be a payoff. You know, you're not going to stand there and spew a whole bunch of words to impress him that lead nowhere. And too often, that's what some of this printed stuff and other media is. It's sort of showing off, and it's not really a beginning, middle, and end and fun story spinning, okay?
Polysyllabic.
And you're going to tell them a joke or something, a little kicker, and that's what we try to do.
Polysyllabic? How much did that word cost you?
You don't have enough money for me to tell you.
Buy that online, that word, and you could use it for a year. Let's talk about the article. Now, you talked about the sunflowers, that the money went to charity. There's another kind of story like that. Meet the geezer gleaners. And geezers, just like what it sounds like, the old geezers. Let's talk about these guys who take vegetables from the field and donate them.
I'll talk about these guys, but I want to talk about apples, too, because we're getting a lot of letters now about that one. So the geezer gleaners, in Dane County and Columbia County, you've got some farm fields out there. And right about now, things are ripening, coming in, and all kinds of truck crops, as we say, cabbage, potatoes, bell peppers, you name it, it's coming out, and the farm stands are loaded, and we love it. So there's a group from Dane County since about 2007. These are retired professors of agronomy and soil science and environmental science at UW-Madison that have retired. And they're living out in the area. You hit retirement. Now what are you going to do? And one of them was looking around fall of the year, 18 years ago, and noticed that there were a lot of cabbages sitting in a field. And then he saw some potatoes. And so he started talking to farmers saying, hey, you got some cabbages there? You're done gleaning this field, harvesting this field. Looks like you got a few left. Yeah, probably just turn them in. Well, wait a minute. Food pantries might want this if it's good. So these retired guys went out and they started picking up some of this produce that would have been left in the fields. Okay, that first year, Ron Durst, he's 83 in Madison, they collected 14,000 pounds of food. This is just like three or four couples together, because these guys dragooned their wives into doing it too. 14,000 pounds of food. And so other people joined them. They'd see them out in the fields, and they're out there gleaning. So they're swinging machetes, they're cutting their cabbages, and they're throwing in, and they tie pink ribbons on them so they don't lose their tools in the field. And they get out there, and they're not as spry as they used to be, but they are picking, cleaning these fields and donating it to food pantries. The average age is about 75. A lot of these people are in their 80s. And they stretch out with a human conveyor belt, just tossing a cabbage one to the other, so they're not carrying them long distances, and throw them in a truck, pile them up, and take them to the food pantry. Now, he's talking about a farmer who heard about him, and he had overplanted his watermelon crop. So he had some of these big melons out there, and he wanted to donate that food. So he called them, and they show up to pick the field. Okay, three couples. I mean old couples. They show up with their gloves, and they're going to go to work. And the farmer says, okay, is anyone else coming? He's looking very concerned because he's got a big field full. Anyone coming? And they knew what he meant to say but didn't was, is anyone younger coming? He didn't say that to him. So instead he said, well, we probably won't get it all today. So he took him to a little corner of the field, and they tore through it in pretty short order. So he, oh, okay, well, we got that little plot done. Let's go here to another plot, bigger. They clean that up. Well, let's go to this big field. They clean that up. By the time these old guys are done, the farmer says, hey, you want a job? But they're doing it for exercise. They're doing it for camaraderie and getting together because there's health benefits in mixing with people and not just hermiting up after you retire. Mix with people, do something, and you never grow closer with people than you do when you're working with them toward a common cause to get a goal done. And that's what they've discovered. That's what they're doing, and they have collected like 400 tons of food in this time since 2007, since they've been doing this, 400 tons of food that have gone to a good cause. And I would guess they're going to be out there pretty soon now because we're heading into September.
But we got one of the biggest cabbage patches in Franksville, Wisconsin, not far from us. And Proud. When they start harvesting that stuff, boy, you can smell it driving through Franksville.
And Bear Creek has cabbage and is famous for kraut. You got Frank's kraut, you got Flanagan's kraut. And one of my jobs, we have my first job story in this magazine quite often. One of my jobs, coming out of high school in Bondwell, Wisconsin, I had to stomp kraut. I had to get in this cube, fiberglass cube, which was probably 10 feet high by 10 by 10 by 10, in hip boots, and they salt the kraut is just salt. And basic kraut is salt and cabbage. They'd salt the shredded cabbage, put it in there, and I had very clean boots, I will say. And I had to stomp it down because you got to pack cabbage down juice.
No, I wouldn't. That's not a job for me. We're talking to the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Mike Beno is with us this morning. He's here every 2 months because we talk about the latest issue of Our Wisconsin Magazine. I think I shocked Mike by telling him I've never tasted an apple in my entire life. Never had a piece of apple pie, nothing to do with apples, because our next story is about apples. And I think I shocked him. And I couldn't give him an answer why I didn't like apples. It's just, I'd never tried one.
I think there's a law against never eating a piece of apple pie. I think this astonishes me, but you weren't able to tell me why you won't try an apple, but I'll just leave it there. Maybe it has something to do with the Garden of Eden. I don't know. But
maybe those apples in the Wizard of Oz. I don't know. I can't give you an answer why.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about Wolf River apples. Now, you see in some of these small orchards with very old trees, you'll see people talking about heirloom apples. I don't know exactly what that means. There are apples grown in Wisconsin that go back to Roman times. There are some orchard varieties that are that old. Prospect Hill near Racine County, Waukesha County and Racine County, is one spot where they have such an orchard. But we're talking about apples here that kind of fit the bill. They're rare now. Wolf River apples. Okay, the Wolf River in Wisconsin. And I guarantee you, you're not going to find this variety of apple in the regular supermarket. You got to hunt to these small orchards to find them. But these apples are so big, an individual apple is often heavier than a pound. They look like small pumpkins. And they're famous as a baking apple. not really an eating apple with crunch and sweetness and tart. They're a baking apple. And Tom Davis, who writes for us every issue, goes through a little bit about Wolf River apples and what he, where he and his wife find them in Wisconsin. Their roots are literally on the Wolf River in Fremont, where they were planted in the 1800s. Walt Disney is said to have been a huge fan of these when he lived in Marceline, Missouri, 1906 to 11. This is before he hit California. His mother would take one apple, one makes a pie. One apple will fill a whole pie. When it's cut up, they're that big. And Walt Disney was thrilled with this and telling people about them deeply into his life. Now, I have one story myself about this, these Wolf River apples. Our first house I purchased was in northern Illinois, right next to the Wisconsin border, back when I was in my 20s. And my grandmother came from Green Bay to visit, and she walks into the backyard, and there were fruit trees planted, pears and apples, and she looked at that, and she said, "Michael, those are Wolf Rivers. You can't let those go to waste. We have to pick those. We got to go get them." So me and my grandfather, who was probably 5'4" at the time, I did most of the climbing. We pulled all these apples off this tree, these gigantic apples. She cut up enough to, you know, maybe put some in the freezer. I sent them home in their little car with the entire back seat, an AMC something or other. Grandpa always drove Ramblers, like folks in Racine did years ago. And they had a whole back seat full of these apples. Why? Because they're the best baking apple in the world. Apple crisp, apple pie, apple cobbler. And we include a recipe in here for apple crisp. So I'd be willing to venture, Don, that a lot of your listenership—I'm sorry—I'm in print here, in broadcasting. A lot of your listenership, your audience, that works, has had Wolf River apples, has tasted a pie, and if you got some bakers out there, I bet you they would just kill for a Wolf River apple. They're hard to find, but they're rooted in Wisconsin.
I'm sure my wife would, too. She loves apples. She bakes with them. She eats them all the time. I just don't. Hey, before we go, we got about a minute or so left here. I got to talk about this big fold-out picture in here. Now, when I saw that, I said, oh, wow, he got a picture of North Beach in Racine. I walked my dog on those planks, the same fence with the same ropes, and the lake is right there. And I said, that's where I walked my dog for years, right on those planks at North Beach. And I look, it's not even anywhere near North Beach in Racine, but it looks exactly like it. I should send you a photograph. It's a duplicate picture of it. But this one is not there. Where is it?
This is, now, you know, there's a pretty long western shoreline of Lake Michigan with sand and water, so it doesn't surprise me that there's some similarity. This is a shot taken at Lake Michigan shoreline at Kohler Andre State Park in Sheboygan. Interesting, the photographer, Daniel Kramer. Have you ever heard of a football player named Jerry Kramer?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Okay, this is his son, Daniel.
Well, I'm telling
you. Shot, lives in Green Bay.
It's the planks, the ropes, and the posts. And I'm going to send you a picture I have when I'm walking my dog on there. And you'll see it's exactly the same. And I said, wow! And then I look at the caption on the page before, and I said, oh, what a big letdown. It's not
Lake Michigan's pretty. Anybody in Racine can tell you that.
So the magazine we're talking about is Our Wisconsin Magazine, a high-gloss magazine, the way magazines used to be. And it's just a great, positive publication. And if you want to feel good about the place you live in, this is the magazine. Plus that cow on the—it's a steer, actually. The steer on the front cover with that look on his face is worth the price of admission. It's just a great look. And that pretty young lady with her steer on the front cover. All right, quickly, how do you get the magazine now? What's the easiest way to do it?
I'm going to give you a phone number. Everybody grab your pen, and it's 877-717-8925.
And in case you missed any of this broadcast, it's going to be podcast by tomorrow morning at WRJN.com and wherever you get your podcast. Mike, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. I love talking to you, my friend. And I'm going to give you that picture. It looks identical to that. Anyway, thank you very much for taking time out of your morning to talk to me. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure, Don.
All right, Mike. Bye-bye now.